Beginning at the last line of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, Maseches Bava Basra. We recommend that before you participate in the shir, you would print out the Daf Gemara, and better yet, place an order for your volume of the Shas Ozer. We're in the middle of a series, halachas that deal with Kinyan of Nichsei Hager. How I know we're in the middle of a series? Well, I glance at the markings, and I notice that above this point in the Gemara there were a series of diamonds, and I notice that on Nun Dalet Omid Aleph, there continue to be a presence of diamonds. These are halachas, as the key indicated on Nun Gimel Omid Beis, the upper part, middle of the page, we saw the diamonds explained, referring to Nichsei Hager, Dugmos Shoknias Nichsei Hager, examples of acquiring the property of a convert who died without leaving descendants. Continuing in that spirit, Omar Rabbi Yirmiya Biro, Omar Rav Yehuda, Hai Man De Shoda Lifta Be Pili, one who took lefes, type of vegetation, lefes seeds, and put them in the ground, in cracks that appeared in the ground, de aro de ger, of a convert's property, the convert having died. Lo havi chazoka. What happened? Someone noticed a piece of property that had belonged to a ger that died. He took some lefes seeds, scattered them on the ground, and they fell into cracks in the ground. The Rashbam adds, importantly, and he didn't cover over the seeds. He just threw them in the ground as is, without covering over the seeds with dirt. The Gemara rules that this is not a chazoka. My taima. Why isn't this a chazoka? Why doesn't this constitute an act of ownership? Answer. Be'idno deshoda lo havi shvocha. When he put the seeds in the ground, there wasn't any growth, any benefit. Shevach meaning benefit, improvement. Hashto de koshavach, now in the course of time that there is shevach memelo koshavach, that's passive improvement, that's merely the passage of time and the forces of nature that cause the things to grow, but it's not a function of some action of his, hence it doesn't constitute an act of kinyan. We now see a new geometric form. These are triangles, and the explanation of the triangles and the topic heading is found on the margin of the page. It's entitled Nosei Mivneh. The use of geometric forms in the Shas, in the Gemara marking system, indicates a series. And in the Shas Ozer that appears on your screen, and many of you may have already ordered your volumes and are using a Gemara book form, you'll notice that we add on the side of the page topic headings and explanations of the geometric forms and other necessary markings. Here, the triangle is explained as follows. Sidra shel halachas shel Shmuel. There's a series of halachas of Shmuel, and hence, as you scan down your page, you can see several times Shmuel's name appears in a triangle. Concerning what? Pu'ulos Kinyan, actions of acquisition, shelechol echod yeshtei efshoriot, that in each one of the cases you will see two possibilities. The yesh livchoin, and we'll have to judge, im l'toyeles oisoi davar, oi l'toyeles chitzoni, is the action being done for the benefit of the item concerned, or for some outside need, kamo l'shem peros. I might be doing something for the purpose of the fruits, not necessarily to improve the item. Nafkamina, the difference being, im nechshav kikinyan olo. If the action is done for the benefit of the item itself, then it will be considered an act of acquisition. If, however, the action that's done is for some outside consideration, then it doesn't constitute an act of acquisition. The Gemara continues on the fourth line from the top, Omar Shmuel, Haiman de Poshach Dikla. He removed branches from a palm tree. Notice the lettering. We have Aleph and then shortly Beis. Possibility one, Adaita de Dikla, Koni. If his removal of branches for the sake of improved growth of the tree, often referred to as pruning the tree, in Hebrew it's known as zimur, then the act of removing the branches would be considered a kinyan on the tree. Adaito de chiyusa, if however he was doing this to get branches for animal feed, certain types of animals eat branches of trees, lo koni, then it would not constitute an act of acquisition. Hechi domi. The Rashbam deals with this on the wide lines under the Gemara. Hechi domi mino yadinon. How would we know e adaito de dikla or adaito de chiyusa ovad? By viewing the fellow's actions, in either case he's removing branches. So how do you know whether his kavona was for improvement of tree or for his animals? Shelo yuchal lichpor veliton adaita dedikla avdi. So why is it important for me to know why? So that he cannot later deny and let us say he was doing it without tree improvement intention and then claim he was doing it for tree improvement intention. How can we know? So the Gemara explains. Shokal mehai gisa umehai gisa. If it was an even removal of branches from this side and that side of the tree, then adaito dedikla, it's for the benefit of the tree. If, however, kulo mechad gisa, if he was removing the branches from one side of the tree, then adaito dechiyusa, then he wasn't doing it for the sake of tree improvement, because for tree improvement one has to do an even pruning job. He did it from one side, so his interest was his animals. The Omar Shmuel, another example. Hai man de zochi zichya. What is this action? The Rashbam explains. Hai man de zochi zichya mechabed is to sweep umetahir es asode to clean out his field me kesamim vasovim roim from twigs and undesirable grasses. So someone's involved with this action. Zochi zichya, cleaning out his field. Adaito de ara koni, if it's for the purpose of making the field more easily plowed, to ease the plowing that would take place afterwards. Koni, so that is it constitutes an act of acquisition of the field. However, let's say he's cleaning out these twigs from the field because they'll serve as firewood, as tinder for his fire. He's not doing it with any intent of improving the field. Adaito de tzivi, for the purpose of wood collection, lo koni. But once again, you can ask the question, he's in both cases, whether it's adaito daro or adaito de tzivi, he's doing the same action, namely removing wood. So, hechidami, how can we know what his real intention is? Answer, shoka ravavri vizutri, if he's clearing out large and small twigs, then adaito daro. Then it's clear he's doing it for the sake of field improvement. However, shokal ravavi v'shavak zutri, if he's just taking the large ones, the logs, they burn long and well for a fire, and leaves these small ones, adaito detzivi, then we can assume he was doing it for wood collection, and that type of behavior or action would not constitute a kinyan. V'yomar Shmuel, haiman de askil tikla. This has to do with removing stones. He's removing stones or flattening the surface of his field, removing all kinds of stumbling elements. This too could be to enhance the plowing process afterwards. Adaito de'ara koni, if he's doing it for the purpose of the ground improvement, then it constitutes a kinyan. Adaito debe dori lo koni. If he's doing it to prepare a section of ground for him to use as a threshing floor, then lo koni, that doesn't constitute acquisition of the field. He's just seeking a convenient place for him to thresh his grain. He's not interested in the entire field as such for food production. Hechidami, to evaluate what his action is, what the goal of his action is, the Gemara will explain, but before we go on in the Gemara, it's highly recommended to have a copy of the illustrations that accompany Maseches Bava Basra, a book that we have made reference to earlier in the Masechta, the Pirush Chai, a book of illustrations authored by Rav Chaim Porush of Yerushalayim. In diagram 463, we will notice what the Gemara explains now. Shokal mulya v'shoda b'natza, if he took mounds and put the ground, the dirt, the earth that was in a mound form, and he put it in ditches, thereby flattening out the entire field, adaito de'ara, that would constitute field improvement, and it would be koine. However, if you notice diagram 464, mulya b'mulya v'natza b'natza, you can see this in 465, Adaito de Bei Dori. You take a look at the Rashbam. Mulya b'mulya, v'notza b'notza, hatel. There was a mound. Hirchiv b'mekoymoi. It was originally a steep type of mound, and what he did was he flattened it out and widened the mound from being a conical, steep top to a flat surface, though the general area around still appears as a raised area of ground. That's what is explained here, is Yerchiv b'mekomo v'shpilo, lowered the top, v'noisein mi gabosoi svivoso, litzdod, and he took the dirt, the earth that was from the very top of this peak-type mound, and spread it around the mound, litzdodin, to its sides, shelo ye zokuf kolkach, so it shouldn't be as steep as it was. V'chein notza benotza, similarly with regard to the ditches, they were, let's say, steep type of ditches. So, sifse gumo hishpil, the girer lemtsiosa, the nasis agumo chaloka. He removed earth from the edges of the steep ditch, thereby widening the opening, and taking that dirt and pouring it into the bottom of the ditch, thereby widening or making the bottom, the base of the ditch, instead of very narrow and steep, wider and flat. Hare Hagumos levad, vatelim levad. Vehare, yeshkan mekomos mekomos chalokim kol echo levado. What has been just described is the mounds were dealt with by themselves. The ditches were dealt with by themselves. Each section a separate entity, but he didn't smooth out the entire field. So that these particular limited regions that were flattened out, they would serve his purposes of threshing floors, but not constitute field improvement for the sake of cultivation. Hence, this would not be a kinyan. Continuing in the Gemara, V'yomar Shmuel, Haiman de Posach Maya Ba'ara. He created a situation where water would enter the field. Adaito de Ara, if the purpose of the water entrance to the field is for watering the field, Koni. However, Adaito de Kavri, if the purpose was for water to flow through his field, in effect he's opening a water gate, and his intention is that the water would now flow through the field and bring fish along with the flow of water, and his kavana is to get the fish, lo koni. Then the action of having the water enter the field would not constitute a kinyan. Heichidomi, how can we determine what his intention is? Answer, pasach. Notice we have a colon over here. The colon tells us that we're going to imagine the word repeated again when we get to the next line. And also the lettering here is seemingly out of order, but it's not. The bays that appears now corresponds to the bays that was just above this line, where the Gemara mentioned Adaita the Kavri. So the Gemara is going to first explain the second point, namely, it's going to explain the how do you know that he was doing it for fish purposes and not for watering purposes. So the Gemara explains, Posach tre bovi, chad ma'ayil v'chad mapik, if he opened two water gates, one at the entrance of the field, and the other at the exit point of the field, of the flow of water. Hence you have water flowing into the field and continuing its flow out of the field. So what would happen? There would be a constant water flow. The water level isn't going to rise and water the field. It's just going to flow through this ditch that runs along the border of the field and right out. If he's doing that, he's doing it for the fish. Because as the water flows, he can put nets in the water, catch the fish, and the water itself won't inundate his field. So that's the idea of opening two water gates. Continuing in the Gemara, Chad Bava, if he opens up a gate of allowing water to enter the field, but only enter, not exit, what happens? The water level rises, it accumulates it flows into the ditch, and more keeps flowing in, and when it reaches the exit point, it's closed over there. So the water level rises, and hence waters the entire field. There would be a whole field would be filled with water, which is what he's aiming for, if his intention is for field improvement. And that's what the Gemara says is chad bava adaita da'ara. Then that's for field improvement. That would constitute a kinyan. Hahi itisa de'ochla dikla be'tapshicha. Was a woman who was using a tree by removing branches from it. Tlei sashon, in 13 years. She was, it's added in by the Rashbam, that she was removing the branches from one side of the tree. She was doing this for 13 years. Asahu gavra, rofik tuse porta. Some other man came along and turned over the earth around the base of the tree. The turning over the earth aerates the tree roots and it helps to improve the tree. You've probably guessed you have two people that are sort of vying for ownership of this tree. Also, the Kame de Levi, the case came in front of Levi, the Amri law Kame de Mar Ukva. Another version is that it came in front of Mar Ukva. In the marking system, when you have alternative versions presented, we often mark that off with a squiggled underline, and that's what you see under the expression of the Amri law, indicating another version of in front of whom it came. And what happened? Ukme biodei, the rabbi ruled that the tree shall belong to the man. Asoi, the woman came, kotsafcho kame, she screamed in front of the rabbi. Omar lo, and the rabbi said back, my avid loch, what can I do for you? How can I help you, madam? Lo achzikas kidemachziki inshi. Your use of the tree was not one of regular use. Hence, even though you've been there for 13 years, but you weren't using it in a normal way, as people are machzik on things, and hence, you didn't do something that would indicate ownership. Omar Rav, hatsar tsura benichsei hager, kona, one who creates a design on the walls of a house that had belonged to a convert that died, that will be effective in koine in acquiring it. As we've indicated in the past, during our discussions concerning Nichsei Ager, a convert that dies leaving no descendants that were born in his converted state, Jewish descendants, the property is considered unowned until someone comes along, does an action of acquisition. But not every single action constitutes acquisition, and that's more or less what we've been discussing along the way when focusing on Nichsei Ager. What does Rav describe? Someone who carved a decorative form on the wall of a house that belonged to a convert. This constitutes acquisition. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. The Nichsei Ager, the Kosle Habayis, on the walls of his house. Avol Siyud v'kiyur d'yomer le'el amol keneged ha-pesach. Those were actions that we had learned in a previous Gemara, where he spread whitewash or some other picture that he drew, measuring an amo by an amo opposite the entrance. Lav hainu suras bria. That's not an image of an animal, an animal image. Elot siurim bi'amo ma'isit sa'atsuim u'prochim. Those the examples of siud v'kiur, specifically kiur. It's like just little flower designs, something minor in terms of decorative quality. Avol tzuras chaya oif chashuva. If someone makes an image of an animal, or a bird, or an animal, that has more significance. V'dai be'echod, v'lo bo'inon amo, v'lo keneged ha-pesach. For if one does this, one chooses this method of acquisition, so it doesn't have to be large, it doesn't have to be an amo, and it doesn't have to be positioned opposite the entrance. That's the significance in Sor Tzura as opposed to Siyud V'Kiyur. The Gemara goes on with Rav. De Rav lo koni leginsa de bei Rav ela betzurta. There was a plot of land, a garden in a sense of a vegetable garden that was in the next to the yeshiva of Rav, and it had belonged to a ger that died. Rav did this action, namely tzor tzura, as a form of being machzik in the land. Continuing in the Gemara. Itmar, sode hamesuyemes b'meitzoreha. A field that has a clear border around its four sides. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav. Kevon shehikish bo makush echod kona kula. One digging of the shovel in the ground. Literally, one hitting of the shovel, where he sticks his shovel and turns over one shovel full of dirt, that constitutes a kinyan on the entire field. At this point, the Rashbam adds that here we're not limited to Nichsei Ager. It could be a kinyan in a mecher, could be a kinyan of Nichsei Ager as well. Ushmuel Omar, lo kono elamoko makusho bilvad. Now, this is a tricky point. The Rashbam, in explaining the Gemara, says that Shmuel's comment is limited to Nichsei Hager. In other words, when Shmuel says he acquires only the point at which he turned over the ground, you know, you measure the side of a shovel blade and then the dirt that was removed, that's what he acquires. That's all he gets. All right, but that comment of Shmuel is limited to the case of Nichsei Hager. V'she'eino mesuyemes b'meitzereha ad kamo. This is a question that's focused on Rav. What about a field that doesn't have clear borders around all of its sides? The Rashbam at the top describes this. She'eino mesuyemes b'meitzereha ela biko gedoylo u'psucho l'sodos acherim. So large, open valley, area, fields, open to other fields, olu rishus harabim. Ad kama tzorich lachbor v'yikne kula liba derav. How much will he have to turn over? How much ground action activity does he have to do in order to acquire the whole thing? The Rashan is going to point out that it's obvious that this is focused on Rav. He says, "Deho vaday l'Shmuel lo chashiva misuyemes tfei misheina misuyemes da'afilu b'misuyemes kamar lo kona ela makusho." Even in a case where it has borders, clear borders around it, and you would think that his action would have ramifications for the whole field, and yet Shmuel says no. So v'kol shekein b'sheina misuyemes. Certainly in an open field, it's not going to have ramifications for very much. So the question is focused on Rav. Rav, who said that one shovelful acquires an entire field for you, provided it's surrounded by clear borders. What about in an enos misuyemes b'meitzorah? Ad kamo, the Gemara's question. Amar Rav Popo. And to appreciate Rav Popo's answer, you can glance at illustration 467. Kidozil Tairo de Shuri Vahodar. The necessary kinyan would be the plowing, the distance that two oxen plow an entire row in one direction and then return and plowing a second direction. So by this double row of plowing, the person would thereby acquire the entire field. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a slash. This indicates a new flow of thought. And we also provide an introduction to the topic by what's written on the side under the heading No Say. And we can glance at that on the outside margin. There also happens to be an indication that it goes till Nun Hei Omen Aleph. Yisrael Shekona Karka Me'akum. A Jew who acquired property from an idol worshiper. V'shileim lo kesef. And paid the goy cash. Ulefnei Shehichsik bo. And before the purchaser, the Jew purchaser who paid cash, before he made a chazok on the field, before he did some kind of action of ownership, bo Yisrael acher v'hichzik bo, another Jew comes along and does some type of chazoka on the field, mi zoyche bo, who is the owner of the field? Of course, this is a real eyebrow raiser. What's going on over here? The man paid for it, it's his. But it's not so simple. We also notice in the markings on the third line, Shmuel's name appears in a firebox, a rare geometric form. And when it appears, it indicates something of great significance. And in this case, since the Gemara will be dwelling on Shmuel for not just this Amud, but spilling over to the next Amud, hence we feature him with this intense type of marking. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Nichsei Oyved Kechovim, Harei Hein Kemidbor. First, we'll offer a literal translation. The properties of a goy are like a desert. Kol Hamachzik Bohen Zocha Bohen. Anyone who makes a chazoka on it acquires it. What have we really said? Well, it's what we expressed in our introductory comment, namely, a Jew came along, paid money to the goy for his field. The goy received the money from Jew number one. However, Jew number one did not, as of yet, make a kinyan on the field. It's sort of like an open game now. The field is like a desert. It's an unowned area, hence leaving room for someone else to acquire it for himself. The Gemara analyzes. My taima, why is this the halacha? What's the explanation behind it? Gemara answers. Oyvei kichovim michi motu zuzi liyodei istalik lei. As far as a goy is concerned, once he receives cash payment from the buyer, he is out of the picture. Istalikly, he goes away. He's removed. He got what he wanted. He got his money, and that's it. He's out of the picture. Yisrael lo koni adamoti shtora liyodei. However, Jews are not said to acquire the property until they receive the document of ownership, document of sale, indicating they are owners. So how do you look at the period of time after the goy received his money before the buyer got his shtar? Well, sort of unowned. Hilkoch, hare hein kemidbar. Therefore, if anyone else comes along, they can thereby acquire it. As far as all the questions one might ask, what about the guy that paid money? What's going to be with the money and all? For those details, the Rashbam is your source of information. However, we will continue in the Gemara. We now notice the appearance of triangles, and as your eye scans, you notice the triangles are not all in the same direction. So on the outside margin, we have the mivneh, the structural note. The triangle is as a ma'akav, serves as a method of following the play-by-play in the Gemara. With the point facing up, kushios abaye, there'll be the questions that are raised by abaye. And when the point is facing down, it'll be Rav Yosef's response. Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. As we continue in the Gemara, mi Omar Shmuel hochi. Is it possible that Shmuel said thusly, namely, that the second Jew that came along with his chazaka, that he acquires without a shtar? Ve Omar Shmuel. See, Shmuel himself said, Dino de Malchuso Dino. Umalka Omar lo likni ara elo bigrisa. The expression Dino de Malchusudino is a rather well-known expression, which loosely translated means the law of the land is law, is binding, and the Malchus, the government, rules that a person does not acquire land elo bigrisa if he doesn't acquire, if he doesn't have a document. Let us take a look at the Rashbam in the lower part of the page. Umalka Omar, lo lechul ara shum machzik ba'ara. That no one should consume produce from a land. Elo imkein yesh biyodo shtar mechira min amocher. Unless he has a document of sale from the seller. Veheich yikne zeh machzik. How can this guy who came along, this Jew number two, how can he be said to be the acquirer? He doesn't have a document of sale from the goy. The first gentleman who paid the money, he will be the legal owner of it when he gets the shtar from the goy. The question has been asked. How can Shmuel have said in the firebox comment that the second guy, the kolamachzik bo, Bohen Zocha Bohen. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Lei, Rav Yosef responds, Ano lo yodana, I don't know anything, Elo uvdo have, bedura dura usa. There, an incident took place in that place called Dura Dura Usa, Bi Yisrael, de Zovan Arame, Oivik Yechovin. A Jew bought land from a goy. Vi also Yisrael Achrina, and a second Jew came along, Rofik bar Purta, he turned over a little soil. Also the Kame de Rav Yehuda. The case came in front of Rav Yehuda, who, it's important to note, rove of his teachings, of his rulings, he heard from Shmuel. So, as far as we're concerned, Rav Yehuda represents Shmuel's opinion. And what did Rav Yehuda rule? Ukma biyoda desheni. He established ownership in the hands of the second guy. Omar Le, so Abaye says, response to Rav Yosef's answer, In other words, what Abaye is doing now is he's going to reject Rav Yosef's answer, and that would then reinstate Abaye's original problem or claim. Here, Abaye rejects Rav Yosef. He says, "Duro dura uso kamris." You're citing the story over of what happened there, and dura dura uso hasam. That was a place of bagi mitamri havu. Literally, hidden fields. But we'll explain that the idea of hidden means it has to do with tax considerations. People that had fields but did not pay their taxes on the fields. The inhu gufayu, the owners themselves, lo havu yavi tasko lemalka, they had not paid the taxes. Notice similarity in expression of tasko and tax. They hadn't paid their taxes to the government. Umalka Omar and the king, the government, ruled. They have the following rule on the books. Man diyohiv tasko lechul ara. He who pays the taxes for the fields, he is the one that will be able to benefit from the land. And these original owners who didn't pay their taxes had no bailus on the land. Let's take a look at the Rashbam toward the bottom of the page. The inu gufayu, bailim rishonim lo havu yahavi tasko. The original owners in that area had not paid taxes. Now, what was the story over there when Rav Yosef told us the story of a Jew who paid money to a goy? In other words, original owner was the goy, and then a second Jew came along and did an action of a kinyan. What's being described right now? That those goyim, namely the original owners, had not paid their taxes. Umidino de Malchusa, the Rashbam goes on, based on law of the land, lo hoya biyodim de bailim koch limkor. They didn't have the power to sell in the first place. Umichron botel. And their sales were really void at the outset. V'zeh ha'sheni shehichzik, the second fellow who came along, the second Jew came along and made the kinyan chazoka, kona v'dina de machusa, shehisna v'chezkoso amenas litein es ataskal amelech. He conditioned his action upon paying, and he would pay the taxes for the land. Second Jew who came along did the chazoka said, "I'm doing this chazoka with the condition, with the notion that I am going to be paying the taxes for this land." Umalka Omar Mandioyev Tasko Lecholara Bechazoka Beloshtora. Rashbam is adding very important information that in the case of tax acquisition, when one pays taxes for land, he thereby gains the bailus, the ownership, through the chazoka without the need for a shtar. Avol. Bekarka shi yerusha le'ovid kechovah me'avoysav u'mochra. However, when you're dealing with land that a goy inherited from his forefathers, and that goy sold his inherited land, li'olamei malach im bo achir v'hichzik bo, if someone else came along, after Mr. 1 paid for it, Mr. 2 comes along and does a chazok on it. This was Abaye's point that he made originally, that he couldn't understand how the second Jew who came along make a chazoka could possibly gain ownership of it. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Huna zovan ara me'ove kechovim. Rav Huna bought land from a goy. Also, Yisrael acher rofik bo porta. A second Jew came along and turned over a little soil. Also, lekamei de Rav Nachman. The case came to Rav Nachman. You have now two people vying for ownership of the land, Rav Huna and this Jew number two. Ukmo biyodei, and Rav Nachman established it in the hands of the second fellow. At this point, the Daf Yomi Shiur ends for today. However, we are being left in suspense. So, tune in next time to see the continuation of this incident.